Remember when sin was an abomination in the eyes of God? Still is. Remember for a moment how we were told that unless we repented and believed in the Word of God, that hellfire would be our final abode? Still is. Remember how Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, suffered and bled and died for the sin of the whole world? Still true. Still true. How many of you in the church and at home believe that God is still on the throne? Does God have any enemies? Well, there's the title of my message today, The Enemy. The Enemy. Now, we're going to have a short prayer, and then we'll get into the crux of the message, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, to give me utterance. Lord, fill my heart with wisdom for Thee. Help me, O God, to be clear of voice, and Lord, to say only the things that are true, Lord, and that will serve, Lord, to glorify You. May the hearer of the Word be encouraged, Lord, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're a Christian, I mean a real Christian, is there such a thing as not a real Christian? No, there isn't. But I had to say that. I had to get it out. If you're a real Christian, then please be advised. You have more enemies than anyone else in the world. You do. And the list is growing every day. Every day. The fact is, we all have enemies. But enemies can be very fickle. One day they'll call you your friend, and the next day they'll seek reconfirmation. Why is that, you suppose? Could it be because God gave us free will to think and to do as we please? A little food for thought there. Anyway, contrary to what I think, there may be someone in the audience out there who doesn't like me. Oh, should that bother me? No. Well, why not? Because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Which means that I'm in Christ. And I'm to love those who hate me. So, whether you like me or not, I still love you in the Lord. And you can't change that. No, you can't change that. I got a question. Who is an enemy? Who? Well, an enemy can be most anyone or anything, even your dog. Enemies are usually quite obvious and very easy to recognize. How about your brothers and sisters? Didn't one of your own family ever look you in the eye during a moment of crisis and say very pointedly, I hate your guts? Wow. Well, unfortunately, it's happened to me, and more than once. Yeah, it did. A long time ago, a member of my family, eyes flaring and yelling at the top of their lungs, I hate your guts. Whew. Man, it didn't seem to hurt back then. But now that I'm a Christian, it hurts. Hurts plenty. Man, that cut like a knife. But you know, the thing is, she didn't really mean it. I provoked her when, as a concerned father, told her she could not go out with a hippie on a motorcycle. Children are so precious to their parents, especially in the home. There's an old saying, a song goes, you always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. Well, thank God that when they get older, they usually come to you and give you a big smile and a nice hug. Oh, brings tears to my eyes, it does. It's not easy raising a family, you know. I guess most of you do know that if you're raising a family, especially when God's not in the picture. And if God doesn't have the preeminence in your home, then who does? Who does? Well, we may be overseers in our family homes, but only God can make us overcomers. Overcomers. Right from the day when God made Adam to be the head advisor in his modest abode, God was also preparing all mankind to follow his example. From the beginning, man was to be the head, not only over the woman, but also over his house. Of course, when the devil came along, the enemy, that's when sin entered into the family. I want to read a couple of verses here in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24. Oh, here we go. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. In verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. Well, allow me to say this. This is not another who's the boss of the home type of word. No, it's not. It's not one of those sermons, who's the boss. The real title I've given my message, as I mentioned earlier, or alluded to, is the enemy. Now, the husband or the wife, they're not the enemy. The real reason I call it the enemy is because, well, we all have them. Yes, we do. Not just in the home, but in the workplace as well. Also, when we're at play, and even while we sleep, the enemy is still there. They exist 24 hours. So, what's the biggest problem about enemies, anyway? Besides the fact that they're enemies. Is it because they hurt us? They do us wrong? They're mean to us? But what's the worst thing about enemies? They deceive you. They deceive you. And when you're deceived by someone you thought was your friend, something else happens. You become confused. You become confused. And who's the master of confusion? You got it. That old devil. Not your mom, not your dad, or your sister, or little brother, but the devil. The devil is the master of confusion. Did the devil not confuse Eve in the garden when he said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden"? Genesis 3, verse 1. He even carried it a step further in verse 4. Ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. What an attitude, right? Who's the biggest liar who ever lived? Who's the biggest liar who ever lived? Well, I'll give you a hint. He still lives today. No, it's not your brother or your sister, as I mentioned. It's the devil, of course, of course. The devil is the prince of liars and the king of confusion. Sometimes when giving out the gospel to someone, people can stop you dead in your tracks. I mean, throw you a real curve. Sounds kind of foolish, but here goes anyway. You ready? You've probably heard it before. I was witnessing to this guy. I was telling him, well, you know, how great God was, when suddenly out of nowhere he says, Can God do everything? My immediate response was, well, yes, God can do everything and anything. Well, can he build a rock so big he can't lift it? Huh? Can he build a rock so big he can't lift it? You probably heard that one before, but that's an old one they use a lot of. I want to tell you, it's times like that when the old flesh begins to boil. Yeah. Finally, I snapped. Yes, God can make a rock so big that he cannot lift it. He sure can. But why would he? This guy kind of thought for a moment. That's impossible, he said. So I said to the guy, well, first of all, nothing's impossible with God. And secondly, why would God want to make a rock so big that he can't lift it? That's silly. The guy kind of fell silent for a moment. Then he said with meek submission, Yeah, I guess you're right. Got another question. Nothing stupid this time. I was just wondering. Oh, I braced myself for the worst. Oh, I knew it was coming. If God made everything, like the heaven and the earth and all that we see, and it was for all people to enjoy, then why? Why did he make the devil to mess it all up? Just doesn't make any sense. I mean, God is all good, right? You said so yourself. God is holy. The scriptures tell us God is holy. Holy, 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 holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. When I told them that the devil used to be called Lucifer, and that he was at one time the head of the angels in heaven, until he rebelled against God, and God threw him out, I hesitated to say, cast him upon the earth. So, he's here on the earth right now. The devil's here on the earth right now, right? Yes. Afraid so? Then why can't we see him? Or why can't we see God? Because of faith, I replied. Because of faith. Faith. Yes, faith. Everything we do while upon this earth, we do by faith, believing. In the book of Hebrews, we read that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you got that? Think on it. Faith is how Old Testament people showed how they believed that a deliverer would be sent from God. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. What about today? He asked. How does faith work today? The same as it always has. You see, that's why we have John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not die, but have everlasting life. You see, God sent his Son to this earth to suffer and die, shedding his precious blood as an atonement for our sins. So, if we, in faith, believed what took place at Calvary and repent, then we become adopted by God and go to heaven. What do you mean, repent? He asked. Well, repent simply means to turn from your sinful ways. Now, you like going out having a drink with the guys? Stop going out having a drink with the guys. This is done with the help of the Holy Spirit who indwells every one of us when we become a believer in Christ. Yeah. We can't do it on our own. This is why God sends the Holy Spirit to strengthen us within. and convict us when our old flesh turns on us. Once you give yourself to God, you know, He'll never leave you, nor will He forsake you. God is the author and finisher of our faith, our faith. Oh, but why the devil? What's his business here? Well, the account of creation is told in the book of Genesis. Throughout chapter 1 and verse 31 we read, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." Very good, you say. I don't imagine that would include evil. Therefore, the devil could not have been present in the beginning. As we get into chapter 2, enter stage right a serpent, a very subtle beast of the field which the Lord God had made. This serpent, like a snake of sorts, makes his appearance and beguiles Eve, Adam's wife, into thinking it was okay to eat of the forbidden fruit, which God said you can eat of every fruit of the garden, but of that one tree you shall not eat. Now, we must keep in mind that the devil was once Lucifer, a very powerful angel, perhaps second only to God. He could change into a serpent, or if he wanted to, into an angel of light. In fact, he could be standing right next to you now. Right next to you now. You may not recognize him, yet still feel his presence. In verse 4, chapter 3, God reckons with the old devil for deceiving Eve. This is the question, or this the question still remains on many lips today. How do I discern between good and evil? How do I discern between good and evil? And the answer lies between the covers of this book, the Holy Bible. And finally, why would a loving God allow such evil to permeate our minds and souls? Could God not have cast that old serpent elsewhere? Why down to earth? Why the garden, our home? Well, the answer lies in how much we dearly love God and how much we serve Him through faith and obedience to His Word. Just as God loves us, He wants us to love Him in return, but in truth and in faith, believing. Remember what took place at Calvary? Jesus the Christ died for our sins by shedding His precious blood, a holy blood that cleanses us from all our iniquities, both past and present and future. But what Jesus did can never, never, never be repeated. Once for all. Once for all. When Jesus returns in the rapture, we who belong to Him will hear the voice of the archangel calling us to come up hither to meet our Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with Him. In Thessalonians 4, I want to read verses 13 to 17. If you'll listen carefully. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to verse 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. That's the rapture. Isn't that lovely? That's when God or Jesus is going to return, not to the earth, but in the air, to call us home. We who belong to Him, we who have repented and believed in the gospel. Let God be true. Let God be true, and every man a liar. God's not your enemy. He's your Savior. In this confused world we live in today, some of you may or may not notice that things are truly waxing worse and worse. They are. Remember when using the Lord's name in vain was a sin? Well, it still is. Remember when homosexuality was an abomination in the eyes of a holy and righteous God? Well, it still is. Remember when a woman's place was in the home and a man's place was on the job? Still is. Now, a man has difficulty finding a job because women insist upon job equality. Remember when mothers were the driving force in the home, while dad's job was to bring home the so-called bacon, I do believe they call it? You know, ladies, the most important job of all jobs is that which is in the home. Everything that your child does when he leaves home is represented by how he was treated or she in the home. So that's food for thought. Not anymore. It doesn't work like that anymore. The homes are falling apart mostly as far as God is concerned. The children are doing their own thing. Mom and dad are all confused and mixed up about God and things that pertain to Him. Things don't look good at all. But that's no excuse for us to fall by the wayside and not remember what Christ did on the cross. Now, well, we're not even supposed to mention bacon, because it offends those who would be our enemies. The time is immediate to start trusting in God and allow Him to be the head of our homes again. Technology tells us to move forward and go with the proverbial flow. Look around. Take a good look. Oh, yes, we've come a long way. But have we come the right way? Is God pleased with the way we've come? Are we as believers should be? Are we holy as the children of God should be? Are we? Or have we gone in our own directions, searched out things that God would forbid in our lives? What's next on our calendar, our earthly calendar, if we forsake our heavenly one? Our Holy Father says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God. That I am God." God is the overwhelming power, right? He's the power above all powers. I just wanted to go to Psalm 46 in closing here. If I can get my smoothy little fingers to work here. 46. Hey, there's 45. 46 is right after it. I'll bet you anything. Yeah, there it is. 46 verse 10. Please listen carefully. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Wow. I was with you today. Do you seek self-exaltation? Or do you give it all where it rightfully belongs to God? I pray that something that was said here today in this message will help you in your walk with God, or your acknowledgement, at least, that He is God and that Jesus died for you on the cross. Would you do that? You know, it can be a rough life no matter which road you take. But I'll tell you, it's what's at the end of the road that makes the difference. And knowing that there's a heavenly home waiting for all of us if we but repent and believe. That's where it's at. Think on these things. God love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.